You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 oh.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Reen Fiends, rolling solo today. Jeff and I will be back tomorrow. And going to be talking Dodgers, obviously. Nothing too crazy on the news front, so I'll be taking on some questions from you listeners. But before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcasts Locked On Dodgers. Not too much on the news and notes fronts from spring training. The second full player workout happened on Wednesday, and I guess the biggest thing is that Cody Bellinger himself said that he is feeling fine and feeling better and should be ready by opening day. So that's a welcome scene. There's a video of him taking some cuts in the batting cage. And yeah, one thing, you know, on Bellinger that we kind of talked about or discussed before is that hopefully the fact that he couldn't pick up a bat all offseason may be a good thing. Cody struggled a little bit in 2020, and you know, even though he had some big moments in the postseason, he still overall didn't have the best year at the plate that he probably wanted. And we know that he's done different things in past off seasons. After one off season, he came back with about 15, 20 pounds of muscle. That didn't really work out. And then he tinkered with his swing a little bit this last off season. That didn't really work out. So hopefully the fact that he kind of had to rest, at least in terms of swinging the bat, that it can maybe, you know, I don't think it's going to unlock something. I think it might just be one of those where he goes back to kind of seeing the ball, hitting the ball, which is, you know, a lot easier said than done, and something that he might have been doing before in his rookie year. And then he you know, definitely struggled in the postseason that year. But I think that this is going to be a good thing for Cody Bellinger, that he wasn't able to have to work on his swing all offseason. He can kind of just pick up the bat, swing it, and see how it feels, and go from there. So hopefully Cody Bellinger, we get 2019 Cody Bellinger, because if that happens, as we've already talked about before, the Dodgers are already one of the best teams in baseball, and were the best team in baseball last year. That was with Max Muncy and Cody Bellinger underperforming. If they just get back to their normal performance, this team looks very, very scary. Other quick note is that Dustin May hit 101 miles per hour, so he is definitely ready and rearing to go. And as I talked about on my last episode, one of those guys who doesn't necessarily have a guaranteed spot will be working for some kind of role with this Dodgers team. And as I also said, I can see him going down to the minors if they want him to get consistent starts and work on some things. If not, he can fill a role as a swingman or whatever the Dodgers need in the major leagues. But we'll see what happens. But get to see him hitting 101 already. All right, that'll do it for that part. We got some few questions from listeners. The first one I'm going to take is from Instagram. Torta_Mint818 says, do you see any former Dodgers being re-signed in the near future? I don't think so. I don't think there's going to be any players signed in the near future. The Dodgers 40-man roster is already pretty stacked. Their non-roster invitee list is already pretty stacked. They don't really have room for anyone. I don't think there's anyone out there that significantly upgrades the team in any spot that they need for them to go after. Now, it's possible, you know, if they want some AAA depth, they could go and find someone. I'm not necessarily sure what former Dodgers are out there on the market still. I guess maybe Matt Kemp is one of those, but yeah, Matt Kemp's not coming to the Dodgers. So yeah, that's I don't think there's much out there for the Dodgers to go after or look at, and I think this roster is pretty much set, barring something crazy happening. But at, you know, Andrew Friedman's always going to fill in on the margins. I think kind of where they're at on the roster crunch right now, they kind of got to see what they got, because if Brandon Morrow ends up becoming somebody that's going to be useful again, he's going to need a spot. And some of these other guys who maybe are already on the 40-man but not yet on the 26-man, or not yet guaranteed a spot on the 26-man, some of them could show out and be somebody that can contribute, and then they're going to need more roster spots. So I don't think they're going to be bringing in anyone. Well, for sure not on a major league deal, and maybe not even on a minor league deal, the way it's kind of looking right now. All right, I'm going to take on one more question right now. And this one is from @bholmes says, he says, will the Dodgers have 4-plus guys get to 30 home runs? Now, this is an interesting and intriguing question, because the Dodgers very easily have four or more guys that can hit 30-plus home runs in a season. But if it happens is obviously a way different question. I think from what we saw last year and from what we know from Mookie Betts, I think he might be one that for sure will be near hitting 30 home runs last year. I mean, he hit 16 last year in a 60-game season. So even if you just double that to 120 games, that's a 32-home-run pace. So he's already over that limit. So I think Mookie Betts is one who can for sure get that 30 home run on the board. Cody Bellinger is another guy who, even if he struggles, should still be able to get to 30 home runs, unless it's a ridiculous amount of struggle. And just with, you know, his pure power that he has and that swing, he can just run into a mistake once a week and you're getting near or once or twice a week and you're getting near 30 home runs just with that. So I think those two are more of the for sure locks to get 30 home runs, barring something pretty ridiculous. I think Max Muncy, who we saw in his first two full seasons with the Dodgers, he got to 35 home runs each of those years. He's definitely the guy that could do that again. Again, another guy that underperformed a little bit last year, maybe looking to, you know, whatever it is, whatever it was that happened with Muncy last year, hopefully he's over that part. And he's another guy who can, you know, definitely run into 20 home runs easy, even if he's not hitting that great. We saw him hit a few home runs in the postseason, and he still wasn't rolling on all cylinders. So that's a three right there. I think the next guy that's probably on there is Corey Seager. Now, Corey Seager definitely has 30 home run potential, but he's never really been a big home run guy. He's a, you know, big doubles guy, led the league in doubles in 2019, was up there again last year, and you know, still has that power, as we saw in the postseason, hit a bunch of home runs. But it's just a matter of, you know, how he's hitting and how they attack him next year. If he has to hit a bunch more doubles than home runs, and that's a possibility. But I think those four would be the ones that would be the easiest to see a path to 30 home runs. Justin Turner probably isn't a 30 home run guy anymore, unless his newfound health and skinniness that he has is able to, help him out throughout the year. That's very possible. I don't think that he has that, though. And especially the fact that they already said he's probably not going to play every single day. He might get a day or two off a week. Will Smith, maybe. I also don't know if he's going to play enough to have enough at-bats to realistically have a shot at 30 home runs. So I talked about last time I talked, Dave Roberts said that there's not a backup catcher. It's more of a 1-1A type thing. So maybe they're going to give Austin Barnes a few more starts than we may want. I don't think Will Smith has that potential. Gavin Lux, I guess, technically has 30 home run potential, but nothing that we've seen from him kind of makes you confident that that's going to happen this year. But it's very possible if he ends up sticking around the whole year. And then we move over to the outfield, AJ Pollock, who would have been on a 30 plus home run pace last year based on the 60 game season. I guess he's one who could end up hitting 30 home runs. I still don't know which AJ Pollock to buy. I don't know if we buy the 2020 AJ Pollock, who was very powerful and was really good during the regular season, or if we buy the 2020 even postseason AJ Pollock, who didn't really do too much. Didn't really have a standout moment. Didn't really show that power that he showed during the regular season. So I'm not going to chalk him up. So I think the Dodgers, what are the chances? I'd say probably about 40%, just the fact that you need all four of those guys that I mentioned to kind of hit. I don't know if there's any other guys that really have an outside shot of getting to 30 home runs. But yeah, that's a good question. I like that one. And we are going to come back and I'm going to answer some more questions. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. All right, I'm back and I'm going to take on a few more questions from you guys. If I don't get to all the questions that were posted yesterday, Jeff and I will definitely get. There's a couple I'm leaving for Jeff and I to talk about since it could require multiple answers. Maybe that 30 home run one could require multiple answers, but I think I broke it down far enough. So next question is going to be from Jim Furlong at Ewok in LA. He says, what are your expectations for David Price? And I believe I saw somebody answered him and said traded. I don't think they're going to trade David Price. The way Andrew Friedman spoke, and it's very possible that they do, but I think the way Andrew Friedman spoke, it's not really a realistic possibility that they end up trying to trade him just for the fact of getting out of his contract or getting closer under the luxury tax threshold. I do think that the Dodgers want to see what he has, and I do think he deserves to have a shot to show what he has. And I believe the more arms the Dodgers have, the better. Whether, you know, the starting rotation right now, like we know, is about seven deep of guys that can be in any starting rotation in the big leagues. I know that part is kind of tough when you're thinking about what's going to happen with the two guys that don't necessarily make the rotation. But I think overall, the Dodgers, as we know, kind of play, they don't play for October, but they prepare their roster for October. And the reason that they're able to have seven good starting pitchers is because they know four of those pitchers will probably be guys that give them big innings as starters in the postseason. And then whoever else is not in that rotation is going to get pushed to the bullpen. We saw with Kenta Maeda. We saw last year with Julio getting time at both. Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin had some different roles, but roles that they now can say that they've done before. So I think David Price, you know, I'm honestly expecting 15 to 20 starts, nothing crazy. I kind of expect, I think Walker Buehler and Kershaw may be the only guys to get 25-plus starts for the Dodgers. Everyone else I kind of feel is in the 15 to 25 range. I'm expecting David Price to give the Dodgers 15 to 20 starts, pretty solid ERA and FIP and all the peripherals. I expect them to be a guy that gives them a chance to win every time he goes out. And whether that's worthy of a rotation spot or not is going to depend on everything else. But I think he's a guy who benefited from being off last year. His arm's going to be fresh. He was already looking good last spring training before everything shut down. He just has a year of rest. He said he came in already ahead of where he usually is when he comes into spring training. So he may be a guy that they can throw a little bit more early on in the season and then maybe kind of, you know, spread them thin after, or spread them out a little bit more after that in order to keep them fresh for October. But yeah, I'm expecting 15 to 20 starts of quality starts, six innings or so, three or less runs from David Price and go from there. Now, when it gets to the postseason, I don't know if I expect him to be in the postseason rotation, but he's definitely filled a role of a guy that can be a reliever or get you the biggest outs of the game or finish out a game. So I expect him to be as part of the pitching staff in October, assuming everything goes well during the regular season. Okay, next question from a friend at Nerdy Dodgers. She asked, do you honestly see CT3 and McKinstry getting equal time at second base, or CT mostly maybe Lux and McKinstry? So the way I see it is that they'll give him a chance to be mostly everyday second baseman. I think they'll give him a chance to get a bulk of the starts at second base. Not because Chris Taylor doesn't deserve to be an everyday second baseman, but for the fact that Chris Taylor is now sliding a little bit more into a Kike role, and he's also the backup shortstop. Unless he's the second baseman, then Lux is the backup shortstop. But either way, I think they want Lux to become that guy, become the next young star for the Dodgers, the next young all-star, the next guy to be in the lineup every day and give them whatever they need. And yeah, I think they're going to give them all chances to kind of do that early on. unless he just completely fell out of favor last year, or they don't believe in him, or they believe, you know, I don't know how much seasoning he needs. I don't think he would benefit too much from going back down to the minors. So I think that it's a, one of those where now with the long season, 60-game season, they couldn't really throw him into a fire. They really had to make sure that they, you know, got themselves situated for the postseason. Back to 162 games, they're able to give him a little bit longer leash and see what he has. So I do think you're going to see Lux at second base, or have the chance to kind of claim that everyday second base role, with Chris Taylor playing kind of all over second base, shortstop, third base, outfield, wherever they need him. If Lux struggles against lefties, then definitely Chris Taylor, it might be more of a platoon situation between them. Whereas Zach McKinstry, I don't see him getting regular playing time like that unless he just completely comes in and has a ridiculous spring and that carries over, and you see Lux struggling or even Taylor struggling a little bit early on. I see McKinstry more of the backup utility type role, filling in when Taylor's already filling in somewhere, or filling in late in the game because they're going to need to move guys around or whatever the case may be. But I definitely see second base as Gavin Lux's to lose, with Chris Taylor right there in that Kike role. And we saw Kike, he got this, he was the starting second baseman starting the season a couple years ago. Then he kind of had a couple chances where he was the primary second baseman during the regular season a few times. And that's definitely where Chris Taylor is going to step in. And the good thing for Chris Taylor is that overall, he's a lot more consistent than Kike. Chris Taylor's had some really down bad slumps over the last few years, but overall he's been pretty consistent. And defensively, he's not as good as Kike, but he's you know, just as good as anybody else the Dodgers have. So I really expect him to kind of flourish and thrive in that role, and kind of like he did last year, and work his way. Now, you know, obviously when he gets to the postseason, everything's going to change and they may have to make more decisions on that. But I think they really want Gavin Lux to work out, at the very least work out enough to maybe raise his stock back up if they do end up going after another piece. And, you know, if McKinstry shines and Taylor's doing well and some of the other guys develop in the minors, you know, maybe Gavin Lux becomes a little bit more expendable in that sense. And, you know, if the Dodgers need a bullpen arm or whatever else it is around the deadline, that they might happen to have, or they might happen to deal him. I don't think so, but I'm just putting out all possibilities out there. All right, I got enough time for one more question, and this one I'm going to take from Danny Martinez at Danny Unknown with no O. He says, Jock had many clutch homers in the postseason. Who do you see taking over for playoff Jock? And yeah, this is the interesting part. You know, Jeff and I have talked about Jocktober and what that means, and obviously Jock has definitely played better than the rest of his teammates for the most part overall, like kind of the numbers I broke down a while ago. And you know, the Dodgers kind of already have guys that have filled that or been clutch before. You know, Cody Bellinger had the big home run in game 7. Max Muncy's had some clutch home runs the last few years. Corey Seager was clutch the whole postseason, basically. Mookie Betts had times when he was clutch. You know, if you're thinking more of a role player that's going to fill the role that Jock had in October, I think it's real easy to slot Edwin Rios into that role. He already had a couple home runs this past year in the postseason. He's definitely a guy who's going to get some more at-bats during the regular season, kind of spelling Turner. And a guy who, you know, I don't know if he'll be able to work himself into a postseason role, maybe a DH once they get and start playing the American League, once they make it to the World Series. But he's a guy who could maybe come in at some point in a game and maybe remain in the game, have a big home run. He's a guy that just has that power anytime he's at the plate, no matter the situation, no matter what. You know that there's a chance for him to hit a home run. So, you know, if you're down by one and he's at the plate, you have a chance to tie. If you're down by three and he comes on with a couple runners on, there's a chance to tie it or win it, depending what the situation is. So he's one of those guys that can maybe fill that. Other than that, I mean, the Dodgers don't really have too many of the Jock types. They have a lot of guys that are playing. Mookie's playing every day. Cody's playing every day. Seager's playing every day. Turner's playing every day. Muncy's playing every day. Will Smith's basically going to be playing every day, or him or Barnes, you know, depending how the situation goes in the postseason. So there's not really somebody to directly step in and fill in for Jock. Now, Matt Beatty is a guy who could play some left field this year, and could, if Pollock struggles against right-handed pitching, could be a guy that gets a little bit more playing time out there in left field. And we've seen him be clutch in the regular season in 2019, had some good ABs in the postseason that year. Didn't, like I said before, kind of a lost year last year. It kind of sucked on his end, but that was just the nature of how the season was and how the season went. But he's a guy that can fill that. McKinstry's a guy who, you know, is going to get or have the opportunity for playing time. He could be one of those guys. But I don't know if they have anyone that necessarily steps in and is a guy that gets prominent playing time with the caveat of what happens in left field. You know, A.J. Pollock has struggled the last two postseasons, but has been pretty decent to very good in the regular season. And you know, if Pollock was playing like he was during the 2020 regular season in the postseason, Jock might not even get any starts. But the fact, or it would have been with the DH, it might have been a little bit different. But with no DH right now, and assuming Pollock is able to handle his duties, there's not really any open spots for a Jock type. But you know, as we saw last year with the Dodgers, it's gonna come from everywhere. We saw Cody hit clutch home runs, Mookie, Will Smith. Kike Hernandez, I think that's, you know, with Kike Hernandez and Jock both being gone, I think that I said this the other day, we're not going to notice it in the regular season. The Dodgers have more than enough depth and good players to not miss those guys during the regular season. So when it comes postseason, where those two who were pretty inconsistent in a regular season type setting, seemed to elevate their play a little bit in the postseason, had big home runs, big moments, big hits that helped the Dodgers reach and win the World Series reach the World Series in other years. So yeah, I Edwin Rios and Matt Beatty obviously are the two that kind of just left-handed power can step in into that role, but I don't know if the Dodgers are going to have a need for anyone in that role. I'm hoping that A.J. Pollock can be good in the postseason this year, but if not, it's definitely going to be one of those guys who gets to step up. All right, that'll do it for you guys' questions. That were some nice, new, good questions. I really like those questions. Like I said, we got a couple that I saved for Jeff and I to talk about, both give our opinions on, and not have you guys listen to me for 30 minutes. So I'm helping you guys out a little bit. Thank you for your questions. You can always submit questions to us. You can always tweet at us at Locked On Dodgers. You can always send us a message on Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. You can always send Jeff a DM if you want at Snydog. You can always send me one at Vince Samperio. Thank you for listening. Make sure to subscribe if you haven't already done so. Make sure to tell your friends and family to subscribe. Make sure to grab, you know, if you have a mom or a dad or a brother or sister and their phone and they're Dodger fans and their phone's near you, or you say, hey, let me borrow your phone real quick, go subscribe. But hey, I just subscribed to a podcast about the Dodgers. You're welcome. If you want to post about us on social media, we're always down to share and praise you and thank you for all that kind of stuff. If you want to give us a rating and review on iTunes, we'd appreciate it. We haven't really got one in a while. So if you're feeling generous, maybe go out there, give us a nice review, a 5-star rating. We'd really appreciate it. It helps us out, helps you out, because we get happy. And when we get happy, we talk even more and have better analysis. So make sure to do that. We are here every week. A few other ways to get a hold of us, you can send us a text or give us a call and leave a voicemail at 323-863-5625. You can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcasts, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!